Tell your neighbor for me this morning, man's not God. Look for another neighbor, you have offended that person. Look for another neighbor, tell the person, man's not God. Hallelujah. Let's read this morning from the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. Honestly speaking, I'm not going to be explaining the text because the text in and of itself is a message. And then we're going to move on to other things. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5 to 8. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. As we're reading the text, just let scenarios be playing in your head. Ojo, Ajale Koko, Shanu Jajamuti, you did this to me. You that I trust. With all the trust that I've reposed in you, the Bible says, cursed, set up to fail, configured to fail. That's what it means to be cursed. Okay, to be enabled to fail. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns from the Lord. You cannot do both at the same time. You cannot trust God and trust man at the same time. Are you getting this? When your trust is in God, you see men for who they are. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, that person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But look at verse 7. But blessed, it means empowered to prosper. Okay, that's what it means to be blessed. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Figuratively, I don't know what you've been feeling in Lagos lately. I went to Ibadan, I did not escape it. Amen. When I saw this verse of scripture, I said, Lord, let this be literal for us. Hallelujah. I heard in my spirit, tell your nation to upgrade your electricity. Amen. But the heat has not been funny. I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. But the Bible says it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. And never fails to bear fruit. I don't know where we're going with this text, okay? This message is a one-off, but I don't know where we are going with this text. You see, but when I got to the part where it says, it has no worries in a year of drought, okay? And it says, it never fails to bear fruit. Regardless of what's going on around me, I'm not afraid. And in every season, I produce results. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, inspire us. Help me to communicate to your people much more than I saw when you communicated this with me. Speak to each one of us. Tell us what we need to hear. Show us what we need to know. Heal us with your word. Instruct us with your word. Correct us with your word. Enable us with your word this morning. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Now, we humans are very complex, right? And very intelligent, okay, creatures. We are the cream of God's creation. We are very unique. We are highly capable, very intelligent. And I think it's because we are made in the image of God and after his likeness. Because in Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in our image. In other words, let us pattern them after us. And then he said, in our likeness, let them function like us. So you see, when you begin to explore man and you begin to explore even your own capacity as a person, you get to the point where you become enamored by your own capacity. I don't know if you've been there before. When you sit down, you pull out some things from within you, you achieve certain feats. Sometimes you can look at yourself and say to yourself, man, I'm bad. I don't know how many people have been there before. You do something, you're like, man, did this come out of me? Or sometimes you create something and everybody's like, wow. Or perhaps you see what somebody else is doing and you say to yourself, humans are awesome. Okay? Because really, we are awesome. But this is the message I brought this morning. That we must be careful not to elevate our opinion or the opinion of other humans to the level of the Word of God. We must always remember that His will is not subject to our approval. We are created in His image. We are designed to function after his likeness. But he is the Most High. We are not. Hallelujah. He is the Most High. We are not. Somebody's wondering, where is this message coming from? You would notice in recent times, we have become this generation that picks an issue, discuss it, and the moment we can agree or we come to a consensus, we declare that that agreement is what it is. Are we getting this? Look at sexual orientation. We just come to a point and we decide, look, this is it. Oh, was fun. Let me share this with you. It was so fantastic at the Q&A session. I don't know how many people were live when that happened. And somebody sent an anonymous question, okay? And you see, I'm grateful to God I didn't answer it, because the response Pastor D gave is a response we've always talked about, but was not in my consciousness at that time. I would have said it differently. And this person said, I'm a lady, I love the Lord, but I found out that I'm attracted to ladies. Okay? So what do you have to say to me? But I love God, but I found out I'm attracted to ladies. I was actually having this discussion with my friend, and that was the conclusion we came to. Pastor D was here, she heard us, and that was what she shared. And she told the person, it's okay, we're not judging you. But just make sure, since you love the Lord, adhere to his standards as far as premarital sex is concerned. Have you ever thought about it? That there is no person who says, I'm attracted to the opposite sex, who is not having sex outside wedlock. So you see, how we got to, this is the way I was created, this is my sexual orientation, is because we've deviated from his standard in the first place. And since a number of people have come to a consensus concerning it, I was going to read from Romans chapter 1, but it was going to be a long read. But when you get to it, you can go and read Romans chapter 1, I think from verse 18 to like verse 32 or something. And you will see three dimensions of decadence there, because people refuse to retain the knowledge of God. So the Bible said God gave them up. The first dimension you will see is idolatry. At another level then you would see homosexuality. At another level you will now see all manner of evil, because people refuse to retain the image of God. The Bible says they substituted the image of God for the image of something that was created. So what man can do is say, I will create something and then I will tell myself that this is my God and there's nothing anybody can say about it. I have a mind of my own. I am my own God. That's what we're trying to say. Tell your neighbor for me, man's not God. No, no, no. You may be intelligent. You may have prosperity. You may have a mind of your own. You may really think you can do what you like with your body. But always remember, you were created. You are not God. And then, you know, everybody was surprised when Pastor D said that. You know, like, that is the truth. You love God, right? God says no sex outside marriage. So go ahead and be attracted to the lady. And you guys, keep yourselves till you get married. And let's see how interested you are in this attraction to other ladies. Are you getting this? At another time, we were singles time out, and a group of people were watching online. And when Pastor D started talking about purity, their conclusion in that group discussion was that, look, chastity was possible in our time. I mean, how old am I? See, if you're not careful, some of these younger people, they've packaged us to another generation. They said that it was possible in our time, that this time it's not possible. And the moment you get two or three people to agree with you, you all agree, this is the norm, and we violate the instruction of God as if we are God. Tell your neighbor for me, there is a God. He is the Most High, and you are not him. Tell another person, there is a God. He is the Most High, and you are not him. Look at Romans chapter 11. See, Paul the apostle could not help himself. He just busted out with this expression. Romans 11 and verse 33. He said, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Look at this. How unsearchable are his judgments and decisions. How unfathomable and untraceable are his ways. Listen, God created us. God created research. Listen. So he says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the honor of kings to search it out. But you need to understand, God created us to research, but we must not trust ourselves to the point where whatever we can't research, we say is impossible. Because the Bible says his wisdom is unfathomable. His ways are beyond tracing out. There are things and dimensions of God that our research cannot reveal. Because he is God, we are men. Hallelujah. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? You are so smart. You are so intelligent. Have you been able to advise God before? Hallelujah. It says, or who has first given to him that it will be paid back to him. You know, when you understand what that means, all this debate about giving or not giving will fizzle out. When it dawns on you that the ability you had to go to work, to make that which you call your money, all of it was given to you by God in the first place. So if that God who gave you 100% says, give me a percentage, and that is when you now become a professor, it's the height of foolishness. Sometimes when we think about it, I told you about this illustration, and sometimes when people, they will think they are smart. Like the person who said, okay, so what if I'm on my way to church, okay, and what's in my pocket is my tithe. And then I see my brother suffering. What should I do? Should I give him my tithe or should I still take it to church? And fellow people like him, hey, yes, you see, this one and that one, those pastors, those churches. And one wise person said, how come you are so greedy that you squandered 90% and all you have left is 10%? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we fixate on that 10% as if the 90 does not exist. How come you did not notice your brother's predicament until you squandered? Listen, whether you give it to your brother or you give it to the church, how are you going to continue living if all you have left is 10%? And let me say this for those who are in doubt. We believe in tithing in this church. And we believe in doing it right. Tithing is not giving God 10%. Tithing is giving God the first 10%. If you want to practice it right. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not that you make a list and number 7, number 8, or number 15 on your list is tithing. And then when your money is almost finished, is when you are struggling with that. We don't pay tithe at Hill City. We return the tithe because we have the consciousness that it was not ours in the first place. Oh, but it's my money. Do you understand? The whole 100% does not even belong to us. We are stewards of everything. We are using it the way he told us to use it. He said, return 10%. That's your temple tax. Because you don't understand. If you don't have issues with taxes, why do you have issues with tithe? It is this thing about man equating, okay, or elevating his opinion to the level of the word of God. Think about it. But I'm not talking about tithe this morning. But I'm talking about every standard and every principle of God that we violate because we think we are something because we are men. Especially when two or three of us gather and have a consensus. Hallelujah. One with God is the majority. Okay, it is in democracy that the majority carries the vote. In theocracy, the will of God is what stands. Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Many are the plans in the man's heart, but only the Lord's purpose for him prevails. Hallelujah. That's why you need to know the will of God before you go into the place of prayer. Because it's not a place where you can... Prayer is not negotiation. It's not you going to God and showing him strong reasons why he should do for you what he has decided to do for you. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that when we ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. So we must know his will before we start asking him. Please don't be religious about it. Say, Father, I saw that brother. I like him. I want him, Lord. I want him, Lord. Give it to me in Jesus' name. Give it to me in Jesus' name. God says, you don't know him. You don't know his purpose. You don't know his assignment. You don't know his future. You don't know what's coming ahead of him. You just want what you are seeing now. Follow my pattern. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans 11. Okay? Let's finish reading. Or who has first given to him that it should be paid back to him? For from him all things originate. And through him all things live and exist. And to him are all things directed. To him be glory and honor forever. Amen. This is what I came to tell you this morning. We are not the reason for our existence. We are here to fulfill his purpose. Settle that at the back of your mind. Okay? We are not the reason for our own existence. We are here to fulfill his purpose. Are you getting this? We are here to fulfill his purpose. These are principles that must be established deep in your heart. We are not here. We are not the reason. Listen, I'm not here for me. So when you are living oblivious of his will or his reason for your existence, things will be difficult. You know that scripture I like quoting all the time. The way of the transgressor is hard. This is what it means. There is a little, let me just explain it this way. How many of you have driven a car with bad alignments before? Everybody suffers. The car is suffering. The tires are wearing out unnecessarily. You don't enjoy the drive because the tires are not in alignment. That is the life. When you're driving a car with bad alignment, you can't take your hands off the steering. And even when the alignment is really bad, holding on to the steering will become painful. Because the car is just going in another direction and you are using force to hold it. Let me tell you, when it comes to God, God says, my spirit will not continually contend with man. That's what happened in Romans chapter 1. When you refuse to align, he lets go. Unlike your car, he is not inside the car. So somebody needs to understand that. Look, without you, God continues to be God. That's why we miss people who have died. But when was the last time the sun stood still because somebody died? There was darkness for 3 hours when Jesus died. Since then, makes no difference. Somebody important died. We will cry, 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 cry. Have you noticed what happens? Things just continue. The world can do without you. God can do without you. You are the one that cannot do without him. And when you think you can do without him, you are like that car that is out of alignment. It leaves the steering. You crash. And that's what happens to a lot of people. And even before they crash, their life is difficult. You know, we're just done with the peace protocol. Okay, we're pushing it further right now. When you really want to experience peace, you need to understand there is a God, he is the Most High, and you are not him. The degree to which you will experience peace is the degree to which you are in alignment with the principles of God. If I go to the top of this building and I jump, I will feel a degree of pain I've never felt before in my life. Why? Because I violated what? A principle. The principle says, if you must jump, make sure you have the ability to fly. So what am I supposed to do? I must sort out my ability to fly first before I jump. Somebody says, oh, I can do it the way I like. Simple illustration. You go into a football field. You say, me, when I play football, I bounce the ball. In less than 10 minutes, they will give you a red card. Because you carry it the first time, you bounce it. They give you a yellow card. Free kick, I mean, whatever, foul. You do it the second time. When it becomes obvious that you are doing it intentionally, some of those referees, I like the way they look. When they give red cards, there's a way like, you know, the way you treat a stubborn child. Go, just go. Go to your room. And you know the way it is? They don't allow them to stay in the stadium. When you get a red card, you don't have the privilege to watch the match, except on the television. I hope you know, according to the law, you're actually not supposed to stay in the stadium. See? The law is not even dressing room. As in, go, go. And for many people, that's the way life is. They are kicking you out of circles, kicking you out of communities. And you're wondering, why? You see, because every system, no matter how excellent, also has an excretory system. You go to a different country and you don't abide by their laws. What do? They have a place where they keep waste. Do you understand? You are in people's lives. You refuse to align yourself. You notice, they pack you to one side. They will tell you, they would warn you, they will react to one. But after some time, life has a way of putting aside people who refuse to align. This is what I found out. When you choose to align yourself with the principles of God, you already begin to operate excellently at the principles of men. When you can fly, you never be afraid to jump. Do you understand what I'm saying? The law of gravity is the law of men. The law of aerodynamics is the law of God. When you operate by the law of God, you will be flying above the laws of men. So I tell people all the time, when the dream within you is greater than the demands outside you, excellence will be your default setting. When the demand they are making of you is lesser than the demand you are making of yourself. So they tell you, be there by 7. You tell yourself, I'll be there by 6:30. You are operating by a higher law. Submit it by Friday. You tell yourself, I'll submit by Wednesday. You are operating by a higher law. Many don't even now know the requirements of God. Because they think, because I am man, I can do what I like. The way of the transgressor is hard. Amen? We are not the reason for our existence. We are here to fulfill his purpose. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 9. And for the first time in a very long time, I'm going to read this from King James English. All right, let somebody get on the keyboard and play on F. Because by the end of this scripture, we're going to end it with a song. Is that okay? Play that F. Let me show that my voice came to church. All right. Those who know it know the song we're going to sing. Because at the end of this verse is a song. Somebody will be learning for the first time that it's from the Bible. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. Yeah? And when the beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him and sat, before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's all sing it together one more time. Thou art worthy, Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Let's do this. How to sing
to receive glory, honor, and
pay attention to this line.
For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created.
Thank you very much. So this is how to write a song. You take the word of God and you put music to it. Are we getting this? So this is the song they sing in heaven, and this is the truth. He created all things. For his pleasure they are and were created. There are two different things. There are some things that are, but they are not conscious of why they were created. That's the missing link in a lot of lives. I am, but I am no longer in alignment with why I was created or who created me. Come on, can you say it with me one more time? There is a God.
He
is the Most High, and I am not him. Say one more time, there is a God, he is the Most High, and I am not him. Hallelujah. So Pastor Shagun, what is your message? This is my message. We must stop worshipping self. We must stop worshipping self, aka I, aka feelings, aka emotions. That's how our generation is right now. And I'm going to give you a very simple illustration. Most people make their choices, make their decisions, regardless of the will of God, saying to themselves, this is how I feel about it. This is what I want to do. So look at this scenario. Self-worship is the root of infidelity. And this infidelity is not only in marriage, it's in all our relationships. On the job, in businesses, between government and citizens, it's about this worship of self. So look at this scenario. The man says, I want what I want. Okay? This is what he tells himself. I want what I want. And you, my wife, a fellow man, you are not giving it to me. The side chick says, I deserve to be happy. If God has not given me a husband, then I will share with some of these people that are already happy. Because even me too, I did not offend anybody. I have the right to be happy. Then madam says, you cheat on me. You neglect me. You abandon me. I will do my own. Then she jumps on the driver. The driver says, it's where life meets somebody that somebody enjoys it too. Opportunity comes but once. Who did I offend? That they say me too, I should not enjoy sophisticated somebody. So he does it also for his own self. And then the devil stands in a corner looking at all of them, because he has factored the destruction of all of them in his equation. Every time you do something for yourself, it's a setup for destruction. Because cursed is the man who trusts in man. And sometimes the man you put your trust in is yourself.
For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are.
So I should not do anything for my pleasure. I should do everything I do for his pleasure. Man was not created to receive worship. Do you understand? Worship is not singing. Worship is reason. Everything you do, the reason you do it is a reflection of who you worship. So how you handle your money is a reflection of who you worship. How you handle your time is a... You know, some people right now can still not wake up at 5:30 a.m. to join us to pray because they say, me, I am sleeping. And what you are choosing at that time is how you feel. I'm telling you the truth. My wife can bear you witness. You just sit on the other side of your phone and you hear my voice. A lot of times, it's only my spirit that is speaking. What my body feels like doing is sleeping. But I say to myself, my body needs to know who is boss. Listen, there is a God. He is the Most High. I am not. So even to my body needs to know I am not boss. So my body, stop complaining to me. You are stressing yourself. The boss here is God. So Joseph said, why would I do this evil thing and sin against Potiphar? No, it must never be because of a man. Flip it. Why are you doing what you are doing? Because of what a man? No, it's never because of men. It is always going to be because of who you respond to is who you worship. He slapped me, so I'm going to slap my own back. Who you respond to is who you worship, because your God told you to turn the other cheek. It's amazing how we will read scripture and people will say, are you trying to say that? No, it's plain. This is what the Bible says. It's not open to debate. Social media has corrupted a lot of people. It has given freedom of expression to people who don't need expression. So that you have a voice and you can use it does not mean you should use it. And even when you are using it, always remember who is what? Who is boss? Now, this is my message. Listen, this is what I'm trying to let us understand. The depth of love and fulfillment our souls deeply yearn for can only be found in God. So you see, you will stop fighting men, you will stop struggling with men, including yourself, when it dawns on you that the depth of love, the fulfillment, listen, when the woman, I'm not saying now, I'm not telling any man to cheat, okay? If I know you are cheating as a man in this church, I will poison you myself. And the kind of poison I will use is the one that would not wear out, I mean, that would not take effect in like 3 months. So you will not know, you will not trace your slumping at work to the water you drank on the corridor 3 Sundays ago. I will just come, I will pray over the water and I will give it to you to drink. If I find out that you are cheating. Because it's not good. And if you don't want that one, I have option B. I will gather like 5 men in this church. I will corner you. We will beat you. If people come around, we'll tell them you stole. We'll not tell them what you stole. But we know in our hearts that you stole somebody's happiness. Say, why are you people beating you? Say, thief. You stole. We would also know that you stole somebody else's wife. Because everybody you cheat with, is somebody else's partner. We just tell him he's a cheat, he's scammed, he's a scammer. Because when you were doing the runs, your wife did not know. If you don't want it to be cheating, tell your wife before you go. So I'm not advocating cheating, but woman, understand. Even if he does not cheat, even if he's with you, he closed from work, you know, you gave him breakfast and lunch. You understand? If he comes back home immediately after work, sits with you 24/7, you will still be empty. Because you see, that love, that depth of, I'm telling you, it does not come from man. The fulfillment you're looking for, it does not come from man. So that they are not giving you what they have is not the reason why you feel empty. It is because you are not in fellowship with God. I'll say it again. The depth of love and fulfillment our souls deeply yearn for can only be found in God. So you know the classic story, John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jump to verse 13. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. He was talking about the natural. Nobody will satisfy you. No job will satisfy you. No salary will satisfy you. I've met people who earn hundreds of millions who still quit jobs. And you ask them, why do you quit? I don't know. It's not just fulfilling anymore. There's a level of prosperity you attain to. that you just don't work for salary anymore. And they walk away. Because you see, God created us with a vacuum that can only be fulfilled by Him alone. No job will do it. Somebody says, "Pishet, when I get my car, trust me. Trust me. No matter how fantastic the car is, one day you will wake up, you will ask yourself, there should be more." I'm telling you, Pishet, you understand? This is my accommodation. If I can just move, hey, move to the moon. No one does go to Canada. Go to the moon. Amen? It's not only Canada, you know, there's Australia. Because as we were preaching this thing, we also must be telling you, if the heat is too much, there are places you can go to. Even African countries, okay, you can go to Kenya if you are really, really qualified. Okay, all of you that have like 4 or 5 degrees, okay, you can go to South Africa. You don't have to stay. But just understand, Nigeria is not your problem. That's what we are saying. Because in all those other places too, they have the things they are complaining about. And it is because humans keep looking at human for what humans were not designed to offer. So look at this woman. Jesus said, "Look, if you ask me, I will give you another kind of water." Verse 14, "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So the woman said, "Ah, you have that kind of water. Give it, give me." So Jesus said to her, "Go and call your husband." She was still in the natural. She still figured, "Look, I'm still looking for a man. Maybe this is the man." She said, "I'm not married." And then Jesus tapped into the word of knowledge. "Yes, you are not married. You have tried men 5 times and they have failed you. So much that you have given up on the institution that God created and you have made a law for yourself. Because the one you are with now is not your husband." That statement is pregnant with meaning. Because when Jesus says the man you are with now is not your husband, it means she's a side chick. But she woke up from a house with a man that is not her husband. Amen. I saw a video recently. If you know me very well, you know I follow Steve Harvey a lot. Okay? For a number of reasons. And so one lady asked him a question and said, "Well, I have a job. I have my own money. I've never had a roommate, but I have this boyfriend I'm dating, and we're considering moving in together. What do you think?" And all the women in the audience, before Steve could say anything, said, "No, don't try it." You know why they're saying that? They've had their fingers burnt. Check your Bible. This thing about moving in together, where did it come from? God's principle is, for this reason, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, not his roommate. There's some people say, it's because we want to test each other to see where. You can't test. People don't love what they have tested. Amen. Let the lady say amen. Amen. If you've ever bought anything on credit, you know what I'm talking about. Chain, shoes, I'll pay you. Then you want it to like 2 parties and you're still owing like 15,000 on it. And then suddenly you look. Let the lady say amen. If you've been there before, wave and give the Lord the praise. Come on. Yeah, the value drops the moment you have used it and you have not paid for it. Singles, that's what's happening. This one, use me, dump me, use me, dump me, use me, dump me. Exactly, that's what children do with toys. It is only in Toy Story that a child is faithful to a toy. And it is make-believe. Amen. Tell your neighbor, "Don't play with me." Tell the person, "Don't play with me." And don't play with me. Don't play with me. Amen. Don't play with me. And then somebody says, "I'm miserable." Why? Nobody wants to play with me. You are not a toy. Amen. You are somebody's wife. Hallelujah. You are somebody's husband. Stop playing. Some of you guys even like this is a player. If you're not making money per week, stop calling yourself a player. He's a player, he's a player, he's a player. No! Real players make money per week. If money is not coming out of it, stop calling yourself a player. He's a player. No. And you think you are using them. You are not using them. You are using up your life. Hallelujah. Because you have had 5 husbands. So she gave, and that's what happens to men who violate the principle of God. After some time, you will say it's the principle that has a problem. So you will now come up with your own law, and then your way will be hard. Things will be tough. The devil is not as powerful as some people make him out to believe. To be. He's not. A lot of times our troubles are brought on us by ourselves. Hallelujah. So we must stop expecting man to do what only God can do. And I'm going to give you about five of them quickly. I'm not going to explain them. Stop. These are the things you must stop expecting people to do for you, okay? Only God can define your identity. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you are missing somebody does not make you valuable. It's not your identity. So you hear typical our people say, what's your name? My name is Dr. Mrs. Pick one. Even titles, professions that don't have titles. Architect. Town planner. Amen. His Excellency. He said, no, this is honorable. And when you ask him when was in the Senate, it's like First Republic. But he will still be carrying it around. Honorable, honorable, honorable. Because look, they are drawing identity. You understand? Your colleagues from school see you. Hey, talk by, how are you? Excuse me, Mrs. No. Have you met people like that before?
Yeah.
So we did one invitation long ago. And then somebody complained. You did not put my title on the invitation. No, we put Mr. They said, no, it has to be engineer. I said, engineer. No, it's not. The person is not in this church, okay? Mm-hmm. Because some of you are saying, who are the engineer? Who is the engineer that told pastor? No, the person is not a member of this church. Amen. The person does not belong to our generation anyway. I'm just trying to help because some people, the spirit they deal with is a prognosing spirit. Yes. Only God can define your identity. Only God can define your value. So don't let man use achievements to define you. I'm telling you, there are people with 5 degrees who are broke. And there are people with no degrees who are employing people with 10 degrees. And there are people with 4 degrees who are making crazy money. They are all not, the degrees have nothing to do. Their hard work, their contribution, the value they are bringing to the table is the reason why they get what they are getting. And by the way, your salary is not your value. Your salary is what the company can afford to pay you. Do you understand? So don't quit your job because of what they are paying you and take another job simply because they want to give you more money. Say they know my real value. No, your real value is not the salary. You are more valuable than what anybody can pay you. And when you name your price, please say it with a clear face. Because no matter what the price is, it's still below your real value. Oh, are you getting that? Are you even as church members, when you negotiate, don't let anybody make you feel like your price is too high. But if nobody is patronizing you, you may want to review your price because it is still not your value. Do you understand? In fact, people who know their real value do pro bono. From time to time, just so that you know what they pay me is not my real. That's why pastors don't ask for money when they ask us to speak. I pray the musicians will get it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
No, I'm not shaking that table, no. But they will keep looking up to us. And they don't get it. They don't get it. And see, and you will not see it in our countenance. We've been to places where we share the word, we preach, we minister. They don't give you anything. You go to another place where all you just do is just show up. I mean, listen to this. One time I followed my pastor. I was not even the speaker. I was the PA carrying Bible years ago. And when we were leaving, they gave him an envelope and then they gave him another one. Said, this one is for your PA. I said, so as we're going, I said, they give PA. Why am I not your permanent PA? He said, ah, okay, it's not all the time. But it was some serious money. It was just before I got married. I used part of the money to buy gas cooker. Amen? And there are places where you go be a blessing. They will not even let you know that this is it. You just finish the meeting and you just carry on. It is well. Okay. And there was another place I went to minister, somebody I really respect a lot. And when we finished, they were just smiling, and we just were smiling. And I got to the car, I'm going, okay, bye-bye. As I was going home, I was just like, ha! Ah. If all these small children, campus ministries, student fellowships, if they scam me, such a big man of God like this, why will you do this to me? I'm telling you people the truth. When I got home, I lamented to my wife. It's not fair. You know, there are some people that are so loaded that they don't have to tell you they are loaded. The wealth is just obvious. Why will you do that? It's not fair. Then the following day or thereabouts, the person now called me. Can you please send me your account number? I said, hey, now you're talking. Now you're talking. And when the thing entered, I said, Father, you are good. Now listen. People who really have value. The reason why the person did what he did was because He did not think that when it comes, you know, it will be an issue. You know, it can come anytime. It's a non-issue. Just like your blessing. The reason why it looks like it's delaying is because God knows when it comes, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. See, when it comes, it comes. When it comes, there's so much joy you forgot. I regretted, I complained. Hallelujah. I want to bless somebody here this morning. This year, 2020, you will regret. Amen. Listen, and that regret is you will regret you cried. You will regret you complained. You will regret you lamented. You will regret you murmured. Because when God shows up, you see, it will be so joyful that you will be ashamed that you ever prayed about it. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor for me, only God can define your value. Listen to this one. Only God can give you love. Only God can give you joy and peace. He uses people, but he is the source. He gives men as gifts, but he is the giver. Are you listening to me? Next one, only God is your provider. Philippians 4:19. God is your source, not any man, not any salary, not any business partner. God is your source. So if your business partner runs away with your money, don't shout. Yeah, ask for it. You may get it. But if the person does not give you, always remember, God is your source. Stop fighting as if that's your last money. You understand what I'm saying? Some of us, the way we fight, as if this money does not come to me, heavens will fall. It's not true. Some of the money you fight about, you have wasted before. Yeah. And it's because we forget. You see, I need you to understand this message. We elevate ourselves to the point where we think we are God. So when we take a decision, we say to ourselves, I'm the final recourse. If I don't get it, I'm the Supreme Court of my own life. No justice if I don't get it. No, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. When you don't leave room for God in your life, you are your own God. Hallelujah. And listen to this one, it will bless you. Only God can reward you. Listen, if you don't put this one at the back of your mind, you will not parent very well. And your child is in primary 5, and out of 30, your child is 30. It may determine the kind of secondary school you send the child. So let me not waste money on this one. You change the school, 20 in the class, your child is 20. You change to another school, 15 in the class, your child is 15th. Change to 13 in school, your child is 30th. So this one looks like this one is just going to be carrying everybody wherever he goes. You know, parents are like that. Some parents are like that. In fact, our forefathers would not invest in the girl child because they assumed the boy child is more valuable than the girl child, and it's because they forgot that they are not God. So sometimes God will want to shame a man like that, and he will give him 5 girls. The reason why he got to 5 is because he will keep trying. Because he believes until I get a boy, then what? Give girl. Then he will not invest on them very well, and then God will by himself lift them. Because promotion comes from God. And he does not consult men to lift any man. Then the girl will be sending money, and he will be collecting it with shame. Say that I just sent some money. Hey, my dear. The girl will marry. And even though she's Mrs. Whatever, the money she will be sent, God will probably now give him like a 7th child that is a boy. That one will now be NFA. The girl will now be sending money that will be taking care of him and NFA together. If you don't know what NFA is, you're born again, you're holy. Just keep living. I'm sure you have seen people things like that. Then when all the girls are prospering and all that, you will now see, you see a sign on their house. This house is not for sale. Beware of scammers, especially my son. That person is calling his son. That now is the black sheep. Disgrace. And he's the one he took to private schools. The girls, he did not invest in. Sometimes you look at some people in church and you respect them differently. Because you think you can tell the future by the way they look today. See, if you are smart, respect everybody. Honor everybody. Are you listening to me? Because one of these days, one of these people you treated with disdain, one of these days, sometimes God will just lift them to prove a point to you. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Because as you are serving people, you're raising your children, always remember, especially in ministry, only God can reward you. When Abraham rescued Lot, chapter 15 and verse 1, the first thing God said to him is, Abraham, fear not, I am your shield and exceedingly great reward. Don't think anything will come out of Lot to recompense you. Because he fought kings because of Lot. And God said, Lot can't repay. I am your what? I am your exceeding great reward. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that comes to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Revelation 22 and verse 12, I come quickly and my reward is with me. To give every man according to his deeds. So you need to understand God is a rewarder. Anytime you want to do anything, do it to the degree to which you expect God to reward you, not to the degree to expect man to appreciate you. Selah. Let that one sink in. Wives, let it sink in. Don't cook the food because of his behavior. I know some of you intentionally just don't put salt. You just want to let him feel how you feel. You just remove. See, I'm a real pastor and I pastor real people. Real people. You know, some of you husbands just don't come home on time and there's no lights and the jerry can with the fuel is in your car. And then they will call you, say you are in traffic, and the only traffic is the one you caused. Say, stay in darkness, you will sweat today. Say, be on top of my money. I'm touching you, right? I'm preaching real good, right? Yeah. It's a service where all of us should just repent. Just repent. You understand what I'm saying? So, it's because always remember, man is not God, and God is the rewarder. That's the truth. Some of you will say, what's the point? This office, they don't respect me. How much will they give me at the end of the month? Why should I kill myself for another man? Please, Colossians 3:24, you are not doing it for a man. You do it unto God, who will what? Give you a reward as your inheritance. Hallelujah. And please remember this, young people, no man can do for you what you were designed to do for yourself. Remember that. Because sometimes young people are entitled, and they expect somebody else to do it for them. My father helped him. It's his turn to help me. He's not helping me. No man will do for you what God designed you to do for yourself. Parenting and mentoring are powerful, but they cannot replace self-leadership and discipline. Listen to this. Nobody can take you beyond where you are willing to go. Nobody can take you more than where you are willing to go. So of a necessity, self-leadership is important. Like I keep saying jokingly, if the dollar becomes one naira to a dollar, we will still have poor people in Nigeria. Do you know the reason why? Because what they are supposed to do for themselves, they refuse to do. So Jesus said, the poor you will always have among you. Because there are some people who will not realize that even God himself will not do for me what he designed me to do for myself. And nobody is your problem. Because nobody can do for you what you were designed to do for yourself. If you can't be happy by yourself, you will be lonely in a crowd. If you can't be happy by yourself, you will be lonely in a crowd. And I want to wrap up this morning by a quote from one of my greatest role models, Craig Rochelle. He said, being consumed by what people think of you is the fastest way to forget what God thinks about you. Be consumed by what people think of you is the fastest way to forget what God thinks about you. So this morning, I want you to forget what people call you. And people are very fantastic. Sometimes they would even forget your name and call you by your situation. On my campus days, we had that boy, the brother in yellow shirt. He was always in yellow shirt. Just like in the Bible days, blind Bartimaeus. I mean, they even knew his father's name, but they still would say blind. You could have just said Bartimaeus, full stop. Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. He said, no, blind Bartimaeus, the madman of Gadara. Woman with the issue of blood. The woman at the well. Like one skit I saw online, lady was asking her mother, mommy, where is the house help? The mother said, what? I said, where is the house help? The mother said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, where is the house help? The mother said, she has a name. Are you getting this? People are people. And regardless of what people think, I mean, you can call her house. Let me give you this interesting story. There was somebody we knew as family, you know, a family friend. We grew up knowing her as family friend. Okay? We didn't see any difference between herself and her mom. She was like our mom's friend, family friend. And you know, and then one day I asked mom, how are we related to this person? And then she told me this story. That she was actually the house help, okay, to my elder sister. I said, you don't say. She said, yes. But my elder sister sent her to school. And then afterwards she learned how to make clothes. And then she got married. And she has children. Guess what? She lives abroad now with the whole of her family. But there was a time she was a house help. Forget about them. I'm talking about you. You are who God says you are. You are who God calls you. Not what you are dealing with, not what you have dealt with, not what you are about to deal with. You are a child of God. Can we settle that this morning? Let's rise up on our feet.